Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dan Menigan, Anthony Allant in for Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Hey, if you can, and I mean this thoroughly, if you can and you have the ability to, our sister station Q102 right now is in the middle of their Rainbow Radiothon. They're raising money for the kids at University Hospitals, Rainbow and Babies Children's Hospital. If you can, please go to Star 102 Cleveland for the link, and you can make a donation there or text UH Rainbow to 34984. Again, text UH Rainbow to 34984 to help out a lot of kids who need some help, and especially kids more than anything else. You know, you want to help them out, and especially during the holiday season. So good for Jen, good for Tim. They're in the middle of their radiothon right now. Help out where you can. We're in the midst of a serious conversation all about the future of the Cleveland Browns, a shocking topic that none of us have ever covered before on this station in the close to 15 years of its history.
It's been 15 years.
Wow. Something like that, yeah. Okay. We're pretty close. Very nice. Somewhere in the teens. I can't totally keep track. You know, you hit a certain age, and you pass all the benchmarks, and you can't really tell anymore. Like it always feels like once you hit 21, like the numbers really don't matter a whole lot until you hit like 65.
That's where I'm at. Although I got kind of yelled at work the other day because I said I was staring down the barrel of 30, and my life is over because I'm 24.
Well, you've got one more that you can look forward to, which is at 26 you can rent a car. Right? I think it's 26.
I don't care. It's 25.
It's 25.
It's 25.
Michael Markosch with 25.
Because I'm coming up on it.
Well, so here's what I'm thinking about. Because the old adage that I thought of was at 27, if you debut in Major League Baseball, you're an old rookie, but you're still, that's like the last year where you can debut. Daniel Schneeman debuted at 27 years old. That is where I need to hit my peak. Anytime after that, I'm washed, or I'm a, retread minor league veteran type deal.
See, so I'm at the age over here where it's like, oh, Rich Hill. Good job, Rich Hill. Keep throwing, baby. We need you.
Just trying to get a job.
We need you out here, Rich Hill. We need to make sure that it's still out there, that there are people like me who have the faith.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting, too, because you brought up the great topic as well. A, we have split Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, and I think you are right. I think that has happened. I believe that the two guys who were so linked to each other for so long have been split in the eyes of the organization. Mm-hmm. That they're two completely separate entities at this point. And I think they still work together, and I think they still get along. And I'm sure they disagree on certain things as well. And you want them to, because disagreements are best for everyone. You know, that's where you get to the actual conclusion of where things make the most amount of sense. So we've got two opposite thoughts going here. So our social media mentions are powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to me at the Sports Feller on Twitter, at Anthony Alant as well, A-L-A-N-D-T, for those of you who are out there looking to find him. Mediocre sports fan sends me this. Look me in the eye, which I'm going to look right at your Twitter profile picture, because that's what we got to do, because it's you. Look me in the eye and tell me that sucking is better than 9-7 or 8-8. Boom or bust doesn't work. Also, Shador could be better than Dak or whoever. Wrists up in 2026. So here, he's clearly all in on the Shador Sanders train.
Okay.
The problem is, mediocre sports fan, the NFL, boom or bust is exactly what you want to do. Because if you are a 500 ball club, and let's say the arrow is pointing either flat or down, that's the worst place you could possibly be. You are a fan of a league that rewards ineptitude. And so you either want to be really good or you want to be really bad. Because if you're really good, you're getting rewarded with playoffs. And you're getting rewarded with having the arrow pointing up and people wanting to play with you and wanting to play with certain guys. If you're really bad, you get rewarded with the opportunity to draft the best possible players. Mm. And so I've personally believed that, yeah, boom or bust is where you need to be in the NFL. Because, let's face it, they're rewarding me for being horrible. And for having my head in the sand.
Well, also, you can have a boomer bust quarterback and with a good team around you and go 9-7 or 10-7 and or 9-8. Like, that's typically how that happens, because mm-hmm. your boom games, you'll win the games that you're not supposed to, and the bust games that you'll lose, and you'll end up somewhere around 500.
Well, and one of the best places you want to be as a team is that team that's 9-8, 8-9. You got a young quarterback and the arrow's pointing up.
Yeah.
And you're looking better at the end of the season than you did at the beginning.
If Shador goes out and is boom or bust and they get to 9 wins, I think everybody's going to celebrate. Everybody's going to go wild because they found a quarterback that can actually get you to 9 wins.
Yeah. Like, I agree.
So for the first time since Baker Mayfield in 2020, like, we haven't done that in a while. So I think I'm okay. I'm okay if it's continued, you know, I'm not okay if it's totally boomer bust, but if that's what it ends up being, like, you know, you can come around to that idea. I just would want a little bit more stability one day.
Well, and I've always thought of this as, I've always thought of contention as steps on a ladder, right? Or on a stairwell, however you want to look at it. That, like, you start at the bottom step and then you start progressing up the stairs to contention, right? That's the way that this, it has always made sense to me in that regard, that there are very, very few times that you'll run into a team that just leaps like four stairs. Mm. You know, that you're in this where it's like, okay, we're in the dumps. Okay, now we're a frisky team that's not really in the dumps. Like, which is where I think the Browns are right now. I think they are a frisky, bad football team, but you're gonna have to work for it. And especially what we've seen so far from Shador Sanders, I hope it continues, that they maintain that level of making sure that you gotta work to get your win. That you're just not gonna roll in and blow everybody out of the water. Right. Mm. So I've always thought, and then from there, you start making your way to getting some wins, becoming that 500 team where it's pointing up. Then you make the playoffs as like a wild card or something like that, or you win your division in a bad year and you just work your way up the different steps of the ladder. Right. I've always looked at it in that way. And so where the Browns are right now, if we end the season where they're on that second step, where they're, and I know people hate when I use the word frisky, but it's the best way to describe it. Mm. Maybe you're not going to win every battle. Maybe you're not going to win every game. Maybe the Bills come in and look good against you. The Bears look pretty good as well. But you're covering the spread. We're hitting the fourth quarter with 4 minutes left, and you're looking at this going, okay, I can the ball to my quarterback. I get a touchdown here. If we get a four and out, I'm able to get a touchdown here and possibly be able to win this game. Or be able to work my way down the field for a field goal. If I'm able to do that math and feel confident that answer is going to come, I feel pretty good.
So you're basically comfortable with what happened against the Titans happening for the next 4 weeks?
Yes, because I think it's going to be better competition. Do you see it that way?
I would like them to play a little bit better, but I also understand that the teams are getting better and better as the schedule goes on. I don't know. Like, I know Ken's been kind of kicking around the idea of Shador needs to actually win a couple of games in order for him to stick around. I don't necessarily agree with that idea. I think that as long as he continues to, I mean, if he goes out and balls out like he did on Sunday, nobody's going to care if they win or lose. I mean, the season is lost. The only thing you're playing for is draft position at this point and to see what else the rookies can do. So if Jerry Jeudy is actually able to get some connection with Shador Sanders, if some of these offensive linemen are able to figure their crap out on the field here and Shador continues to look better and better, I don't really care if you finish 3-14 again, because hell, we did that last year. And you know, it, like, you're gonna have to get these guys better anyways, so might as well get the better draft pick.
And this is back to my perpetual rant when it comes to the NFL and the fact that you reward ineptitude in the NFL.
Yeah.
I can understand where you're coming from. But at some point, wins need to come and improvement needs to come and improvement needs to happen. And like what I've seen so far this year. Okay. People are going to get annoyed by this. Let's all take a big step back for a second. Okay. Are the rookies playing better now than they did at the beginning of the season?
Yes.
Okay. That tells you that the season itself went pretty well. The only question that we are all looking at each other right now is if the quarterback of the future is either on the roster or sitting in the draft. That is the one question that still needs to be answered, and I got four games to figure that out.
So
that feels pretty good.
That is why, like, the rookies thing is exactly why Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry have officially split. I think we've been all trying to figure out when the start of this was, when the start of them not totally being quote unquote thought partners was. I think a lot of people pointed at the Joe Flacco trade and the fallout that week is that was the split. It was the draft. And what you've seen from there is the players that Andrew Berry selected, outside of Dylan Gabriel, have greatly outperformed expectations and have cemented themselves as guys that you want to see more of. And like Carson, we know what Carson Sweatshirt and Mason Graham are.
Love it.
Quinshon's your running back of the future. Yeah, yeah.
I think Samson is a piece as well that you could build around. Harold Fannin looks like he's going to be a piece for this team for a good period of time.
I was a little hard on Dylan Samson last week. I apologize for that.
You should. He had a fumble, and hey, that's going to happen to certain guys. And you know, you start going, remember the Titans on him after that, you know? Right.
So the chasm happened when this team continued to just flail away games. Like Kevin Stefanski running a double reverse with Gage Larvadan as one of the options on a 2-point play to win the damn game. That is like your perfect encapsulation of, well, we have the players.
Yeah.
We don't have the coach. Or at least we have a coach that is wildly outside of his bounds right now because he is overthinking everything.
Right.
Now, the players aren't everywhere. And I have a lot of issues with Andrew Berry, and I would have a lot of issues with keeping and or promoting him and Glenn Cook, the assistant general manager, as well. Like, I would have a real issue with that. But if you continue to go as over the next 4 weeks, like I've said, and you play well, Shador looks good, but you're not winning games, there's no reason to keep Kevin Stefanski. But you can see the path to keeping Andrew Berry as a GM because he's figured some things out. Now, if you win, you start to buy yourself back into, well, Kevin Stefanski developed this guy, and you know, you're starting to look toward next year. What would a whole offseason look like? That's what winning would get you. I think winning does more for Kevin Stefanski than Shador Sanders.
Ooh. Boy, I don't know on that one.
Why?
I don't know on that one at all. Because, so here's the argument of keeping Kevin Stefanski. At least the way that I've always seen it. And I'll try to do this quickly, of course.
I always come up with my best points when we need to go to break.
You're pretty darn good at that. I got to give you credit. Makes a hell of a tease. I'll give you that too. So the players are developing, right? Who is that a reflection on when your rookies develop? Your coaching staff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's the head of that coaching staff? Well, it's the head coach. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if your rookies are developing and they're looking better at the end than they were in the beginning, that's a highlight to your coaching staff. Good on you. Okay. Part two of that one. If the wins that matter there, meaning more to Kevin Stefanski than they do to Shador Sanders, I think a lot of people in that organization especially are going to look at it and say that I think you're right, the more that I'm thinking about this. Yeah. Because we can look at Shador Sanders and pull that away. you know, from what's taking place with the coaching staff and say, well, hell, he threw for three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the defense coughed this up. But if that's the case, then with the defensive side of it, that's on Jim Schwartz, because your coach underhanded the keys to Jim Schwartz and said, go run this bad boy.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason you brought him in, is you wanted a head coach on the defensive side of the ball so he could push himself away from that. See, that's why this is such a sticky situation, where I think everybody is connected and that wins play into all of this, because you could distance yourself from whatever you want to, but the number one overriding thing of Kevin Stefanski is going to be the fact that the rookies look better at the end of the season than they did at the beginning, and you have a core, and that's going to reflect your general manager, and it's going to reflect your head coach.
Yeah, that's. I just think the rookies, and again, maybe it's just because we are so down on Kevin Stefanski right now, but I think the rookie class this year is only falling on the plate of Andrew Berry. Whether or not that's right.
216-474-0092 at the Sports Feller on Twitter. That's a sticky one. I like that. We'll ask our buddy Brian Anderson that next. Dan Manigan, Anthony Allant, in for Baskin and Phelps, 92 through the fan. We're what? We're just signing contracts and just not letting it be known to anybody? I mean, I guess.
So this is a year old. Because when Michael told us that he signed the extension, I think we all assumed that it was like in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we thought it was in the last couple of weeks.
And that the news was not that old. Nay, it's 365 days old.
Good golly. We ask a man who has been in locker rooms and clubhouses before. We go to the fan hotline. We bring in our buddy Brian Anderson on this one. B.A., Stephen Vogt just apparently signed a contract last year and then just didn't tell anybody. What?
That's cool, I guess. I mean, it didn't seem to bother him or borrow the organization. And here's the thing, though. He's done such a tremendous job there that you knew that he was going to be locked up long term. Now, the fact that they were able to keep that under wraps for a full year, impressive on both ends. But yeah, I could see how you'd get a kick out of that.
I'm just flabbergasted by it because, dude, this doesn't happen. Typically, these guys get hired and or sign contract extensions, and their agents are like parading around like town criers, making everybody know how good I am. Like Jimmy Sexton would never let this go under the hood.
No. Well, here's the thing. That tells you a lot about Stephen Vogt, doesn't it? You know, he's like, I'm going to show you how good I am by the job that I do at the end of the dugout. And he has done an unbelievable job in his short time there in Cleveland. So it's no surprise that they would lock him up long term. And it's actually no surprise in knowing, you know, because remember, Stephen Vogt, you know, he was a Ray. So, you know, I was broadcasting when he was a player. And you know him as a person, and it doesn't surprise you that he's not out there parading around saying, hey, everybody, look at me and look what I got and look what I deserve. That doesn't fit his character. So it's not a surprise at all.
All right, Brian, let me sneak in a Guardians question before we get to the Browns. Colin Holderman. No, I'm kidding. What else do you think the Guardians can do and will do this offseason? They have about $30-ish million to sign people with.
Well, that's good that they've got money to be able to go out and try to sign you. The first thing that I think of with Cleveland is a bat. But those are so expensive and they're so difficult to come by unless you're able to make a trade because you've got a deep farm system. So going out and signing a Kyle Tucker, a Kyle Schwarber, a Pete Alonso, it's going to probably be out of their pay range. I mean, that's just that's the simple fact of the matter. You know, I don't know what they end up doing with that money. I also have to be very honest with you. Since the end of the season, I have kind of let baseball drift into the background. Now, the winter meetings have piqued my interest once again. But I gotta be honest with you. I have not broken down the needs of the Guardians. But I do know that like every team that seems to be in their type of position, and Tampa Bay would certainly qualify, they are always on the lookout for an impact bat. The problem is they're so expensive that a lot of times these particular players are just priced out of what Cleveland and what Tampa Bay, what their budget would allow for. So I don't know. I know that that's what one of the things they would love to add. I don't know if $30 million total is going to be enough to do that, unless you're talking about $30 million for the next 5 or 6 years. And I don't know if they'd be willing to do that. I don't know if any team in the financial situation at Cleveland and or Tampa Bay would be willing to do that.
The best friend of the show, Brian Anderson, joining us on the Fan Hotline, former Indians pitcher, current Rays color analyst. Well, now you're going to be seeing a whole bunch of Pete Alonso. What'd you make of that signing by the O's? That kind of shocked me.
Well, you know what? It didn't shock me because I know that Baltimore wanted to make a splash. They had a very poor season. You know, obviously Brandon Hyde got fired, you know, a couple of months into the season because they got off to such a slow start. And this was a team that, you know, a lot of high expectations. And I think even being within the division and watching them up close, that their core young group, you were thinking this team is going to be around and they're going to be relevant for quite a while. And they were not relevant at all last year. And obviously it cost Brandon Hyde his job. And so you knew coming into this offseason that Mike Elias was going to try to make an impact. They went after Kyle Schwarber, and I don't necessarily think that they may have been outbid by Philadelphia, but he was obviously more comfortable there. And so he re-signs with Philadelphia. So now they go after the next guy, and that's Pete Alonso. The thing that makes it interesting for me is if you remember a couple of seasons ago, the left field wall in Baltimore, they moved way back, which was the first time that we walked into that stadium and I walked up into the broadcast booth and looked out at left field and realized how far they had pushed that back. It almost looked like a joke, like this can't be real. This looks like the Rock and Jock softball field on MTV. You expect a cow to be out in center field and a cutout of something. I mean, it really looked that weird. Now, they did bring it in last year a little bit, but it's still significantly bigger than it has ever been in the history of Camden Yards. And now you bring in a right-handed bat, Pete Alonso. Power. Most of his power. He's got the kind of power foul pole to foul pole. I get it. But for right-handed hitters, a lot of power is to the pull side. And he's dealing with a much bigger left field than he was in New York and at any other time in Baltimore. So that's what made it a little bit interesting for me. But they wanted an impact bat. They didn't get Schwarber, and they were able to get Alonso. And I don't think that they're done. I think that they're going to try to do a little bit more to try to stay relevant once again in the American League East, which is strengthening. You know, the Tampa Bay – you know, had a poor season last year, but they're always a team that is going to be looking to get into the playoff hunt. Toronto fell just short of being world champions. You know, the Yankees are going to be there. Boston is a very good team. So to play catch up, Baltimore's trying to make an impact, and that's what they did.
They need pitching so bad. I worked in that organization. Yeah. Nobody coming. Like,
well, and that has been the issue. They just have not been able to get that part of it right. I mean, they've had the ability to score runs, you know, even when Buck Showalter was there and they were a playoff team. But yeah, the pitching, the development of the pitching is what just, it has not been there like you would want it to be. Even right down to Grayson Rodriguez. You know, here was a kid that you thought that he was the sure next, big thing, and certainly all the talent in the world, but having a hard time staying on the field.
All right, any O's Talk podcasts that are out there, the three of us are available at any given time if you want to talk Orioles baseball. Let's go to
Mark
another
Capali,
Orange.
Hit me up.
Let's go to another Orange team. You sat there, yeah. You watched Shedeur Sanders play, BA. Yeah. You watched him against the Titans.
Yeah.
What'd you think, and how far in are you?
I am by no stretch all in, but I was very impressed, especially with being down two scores late. And being able to maintain his composure and lead the team on two touchdown drives. So I was absolutely impressed. And I think that's obviously a great sign. Now let's see, you know, he was named the starter for the rest of the season and he's got four pretty good defenses coming up, including the Chicago Bears. Now, I don't know if the weather is going to cooperate. It looks like it's going to be freezing cold with some whipping winds. So I don't know how much of the pass game is going to be leaned on up there. But this is a secondary. I think they lead the NFL in the interceptions with 18, I believe. And it's a defense that prides itself on takeaways. And what are you thinking about when you have a rookie quarterback making his fourth start? We're going to force him into some bad throws and we're going to take the ball away. So if he can go up there and play a clean game against that defense, you start to move a little bit further in and you start to say, could potentially he be the guy? I don't think you can do that three or four starts into a young quarterback's career, especially a fifth rounder, but certainly it's trending in the right direction. And it was a lot of fun to watch last weekend. One thing I will tell you about that game, and I know it's analytics driven, and I know that Kevin Stefanski and the Browns organization are all about the analytics, but I cannot stand the score the touchdown to get within eight and go for two there. I mean, just kick, you know, you're like, kick the extra point, keep hope alive. I don't know. I mean, I know that there are arguments on both sides, but when that happened, they didn't get it. And now all of a sudden they get the ball back. They drive down. Now they got to score that touchdown and they have to get the 2 point. And then they ran out that play, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Good way to put it.
That's the nicest way we could put it.
It didn't look like, you know, I mean, really, when you see plays and sometimes they don't work and it's a trick play and, you know, you have this young quarterback whose confidence is blooming, blossoming, what he did those last two drives, and maybe it was punishment because he fumbled the snap on the prior, you know, 2 point conversion and they didn't trust him in that situation. However, did that play not look like it had never been practiced?
It looked like somebody else played
that never had been practiced. Like they drew it up on the sideline.
It looked like somebody else besides Gage Larvinan was supposed to get that ball. Like it makes me wonder if that was supposed to be Malachi Corley, and it would have made more sense because of the amount that he's been running the reverses. And they looked at Gage and went, "All right, buddy, hop in there. You've got this." And he went, "Yeah, I do."
You're proving my point. When you watch a play and you don't understand who was supposed to be targeted, where the ball was supposed to go, who was supposed to touch it, when you don't know any of those things, it looks like a play that's never been practiced before. Because sometimes those plays blow up and you're like, oh, I see what they were trying to do. It just didn't work out. You couldn't tell what they were trying to do on that play. Makes it all the more baffling.
Brian, how would you feel at the end of the year if the Browns finish 3-14, but Myles Garrett gets the sack record?
Well, that's probably what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Listen, it is what it is. And they could very easily, there are two reasons why you tune in right now. You see Miles and you see him going after the quarterback and you want to see him get that record. And you tune in to see if Shador is going to continue to grow and if he's going to get to the end of the season and have you thinking, hey, he could be the guy. That's why you're watching. That's the only reason why you're watching. And yeah, you'd love to perform to win. I'd love to have a victory Monday. Listen, I wear my Browns stuff to the gym every Monday after a Browns win. Well, guess what? That's about once a month. I would love to be able to wear that stuff. I got cool Browns gear. And the last time I wore it, I had more comments made about me wearing Browns gear than anything else that I ever wear to this gym. People were like, oh, wow, that's good. You know, and I'm like, well, we don't get to wear it very often. That's why you don't see me in it. So I'd like to do that a couple of more times. But at the end of the day, you're tuning in to watch Shador and his growth, hopefully, and you're tuning in to see if Miles can get that record.
B.A., you're the legend. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate your time.
Hey, anytime. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the cold in Chicago, or at least watching it, and we'll touch base next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Enjoy the fact that you won't be sitting in that, because good golly, that sounds so miserable.
Oh, dude, miserable. Listen, cold is one thing. Cold and wind. No, sorry. Cuts right through you.
Yeah.
No thanks.
It hurts.
No thanks.
All right, talk during the game, Brie. You're the man.
Yeah, for sure. Take care.
He is Brian Anderson. He is the best friend of the show. We love talking to him about all sorts of things. Folks, what do you think of Stephen Vogt quietly signing a multi-year contract extension last offseason and the Guardians and Stephen Vogt himself somehow keeping this under wraps? It baffles me to no end, but at the same point, I'm sadly not totally surprised. Dan Manigan, Anthony Allant, 92 The Fan. Dan Manigan, Anthony Allant here on 92.3 The Fan. We got you till 2 o'clock today. Our buddy Tim May is going to join us at 12:40 to get the latest on college football all over the place. A little bit, I don't know how much looking back we want to do at the Big Ten title game. We'll maybe ask a little bit about it, but more than anything, the landscape perpetually changes because it's college football, and it probably is like the craziest thing going. Like it's the best. College football will make me... college football will entertain me until the end, even though I do feel bad for a lot of the things that are also going on for the ancillary people in there too. So we'll talk to May at 12:40. Also Kevin's fantasy press conference, somewhere between 105, 115, somewhere in between there. But we're talking about the news that I don't know if I could call it breaking. I don't even know how to do this. I don't know how we missed it. This is so just like the Guardians that Stephen Vogt has signed a contract extension. This is from Jeff Passan's piece, Vogt, in fact, not a lame duck. He signed a new multi-year contract with the Guardians following the 2024 season. That was never made public. Our buddy Zach Meisel had a piece out from November 3rd. He tweeted it out on his Twitter page. As one person with knowledge of the situation put it, Vogt will be in Cleveland for a long time. Don't worry about his future. He'll have a new deal. In fact, he might already have it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
We were talking about college football before. Like, Jimmy Sexton is like the super agent of college football, right? He's got Nick Saban. He's got Lane Kiffin. He's got all of these high-end coaches. I think he might have Kalen DeBoer. Like, if you can think of a big-name coach, Jimmy Sexton is the agent.
Basically anybody that said no to the Penn State job this year.
If one of those guys gets signed, Jimmy Sexton is like walking around shaking the contract in front of people going, look what I did. Look what we have here. Another contract, more money for me. Oh, hey, you need more money too? Okay, I'll negotiate for you as well. So that in 2 weeks he can walk around and go, look what I did. Another 10-year contract extension for the Washington coach. Like, yeah, here we are with Stephen Vogt and going, oh, yeah, by the way, I signed a contract extension.
I want to know how Passan found out. I do. Like, we were joking in between the break that, like, he took him to a steak dinner and Stephen was like, hey, I got this one. Don't worry about it. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Yeah. I have the money for it.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
I mean, could you imagine the scenario I threw out when I heard the news initially was, could you imagine if after last year, Kenny Atkinson wins Coach of the Year, he gets the contract extension, and we don't find out until the end of this regular season with the Cavs? Like, that would never happen.
No, it wouldn't happen.
Could you imagine if Jim Harbaugh signed an extension with the Chargers?
Again, we would have the agent walking around, throwing his hands in the air, just making it known to every single person. Hell, maybe handing out flyers at the corner at the winter meetings going, hey, look at what I did. Hey, look at this. Look at this contract. Take this out. Hey, hire me.
Only like, in baseball.
Like, it's the great, not even only in baseball, because Scott Boras is holding press conferences at the winter meetings.
That's
you
fair.
Can't even say only in baseball. This is only with the Guardians. That they would run into a situation where they would have a manager sign a contract extension, and we'd all be like, and by the way, nobody has a problem with it. I'd sign him up for as long as he'd possibly be eligible for because he's been awesome. I mean, he took a team last year that was in not exactly a transition or anything like that, took a team last year that was in good shape, put together this magical run, made the playoffs, made the ALCS. Everything was awesome. We were having a blast with it. And then this year took this team that couldn't hit to save their souls, that had OPSs all below minimum wage, and looking at it, you know, going, okay, we're going to make this work and go on this magical win streak in September and then make the playoffs. Again, like, we will all have burnt in our brains that somehow Steven Vogt got this team to scrape by just enough runs with some of the greatest starting pitching we've ever seen, followed by some of the greatest relief work on top of that, to keep it that these teams could win these games 2-1, 3-1, 2, you know, 3-2, somewhere in between there. Like, yeah, he deserves a contract extension. I don't think anybody would argue. I don't think anybody would fight.
So the question people should always have when news like this comes out, I've never seen a situation where it's a year old news, like we are talking about 2024 news, but when news like this comes out, there's almost like a reason for it. It was like the Kevin Stefanski report they were talking about last week. Like, why is he all of a sudden this highly sought after coach that's going to get hired the second he gets fired in Cleveland? I wonder if, because this offseason, like right at the end of the year, there were rumors that maybe some of the other teams that just fired their coach were interested in Steven Vogt, because it's like, hey, if I go to San Diego, they're going to pay for people and we don't have to rely on Nolan Jones being our number two hitter. We can go get like Luis Arraez from the Marlins and we're going to be like a World Series team. And Steven Vogt has been put up against every single problem as a baseball manager that you can possibly think about. I mean, his closer was allegedly gambling on pitches and he still was able to come back from 15 down. So what more do you need to know that he's a really good coach?
Right. I will never forget that sixth inning against Tarik Skubal when they scored two runs to win the game without the ball leaving the infield. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like the whole offensive philosophy of I'm going to hit the ball really hard off of the plate and then run like hell. Like that became an offensive philosophy. We're like hashtag guards ball. And I'm like, hashtag horse hockey. I don't know how to describe this. This is ridiculous. This isn't an offensive philosophy. Like, again, you don't go into war with slingshots. And that's what they were doing. They were going into these playoff series where you've got guys who are hulking, blasting the ball over the field like Ken Griffey Jr. in Super Nintendo Baseball, where these guys were walking up with sticks for legs and giant, you know, muscles all over the place. And then here the guards are going, we're going to hit the ball really hard into the ground and we're going to run like hell. Then we're going to steal second and put pressure on you in that regard. And then Jose Ramirez is going to be dancing around at third to distract the pitcher. And you're like, what? And yet Steven Vogt made it work. And he's done it again. And he deserves this contract extension. It's just baffling. We're finding out about it now when he could have signed this, you know, according to Jeff Passan, following the 2024 season, it just never made it public.
And even the announcement that he signed the extension is buried in a story about why MLB manager salaries lag behind other coaches.
Like
it's below a tidbit about Dumb and Dumber and Coming to America, the movie. I don't like.
I mean, good references to great movies.
Yes. I guess like good on Amazing. The Guardians for signing him after that, because that was a fear this offseason when those reports came out, was maybe not now, but if he goes into either a lame duck year or if we get 3 years down the line and he's like, hey, I'm winning 85 to 90 games a year. We're competing for the division and I'm consistently not getting help. Why don't I just, you know, bounce off to another organization that's going to give me the resources to be what could end up being a Hall of Fame manager.
Yeah.
Like if you put this beginning of the resume, I mean, nobody starts like Terry Francona is a Hall of Fame manager. His first job in Philly was terrible. And he talked about like how much he needed to learn about it. Well, Steve picked up just a grizzled manager
real quick and has done a heck of a job. And I mean, that was 1-1 on the checklist for the offseason was get Steven Vogt a contract extension. Apparently, we didn't even need to put it on the checklist because it had already been done a year ago. The second part of it was to figure out what was going on with Stephen Kwan. We had Paul Hoynes on with us yesterday who came on and said he is hearing that Stephen Kwan is going to be the starting left fielder for the Cleveland Guardians going into the season, and we could put the trade rumors to bed. Do you believe that is the case, or do you think that's one of those things that is a truth as of December, what is it, the 11th? December 11th.
December 12th.
Today's the 12th. So he said it yesterday, which would be the 11th. Is that where we lie, that on whatever day opening day is in late March, he will be hitting first and in left field for the Cleveland Guardians? Or do you think he's still on the trade block?
I think he's on the trade block, but not it's not a pressing thing. Like if Emmanuel Clase was still on the roster, still pitching for the team, and he would have survived the trade deadline and gone through to the end of the year, he would have been a guy that is on the trade block and probably going to get traded. I think they need to build up Stephen Kwan's trade value a little bit more, because I think teams have looked at him and said he has a really hot start to the year. He's going to be a 300 hitter, and then he's going to have some minor injury, soft tissue injury, fall off magnificently toward the end of the season and end somewhere around like a 270, 280 hitter. I think what the Guardians need to see is, can you do that for the remainder of the year? I would also hope that Paul Hoynes report means that they're trying their best for an extension this offseason.
And also congratulations, Hoynes, on making the Hall of Fame. That's outstanding.
Huge.
As always. So it's weird that you say they need to feature him, because I don't know how you feature a baseball player. Like, I don't know. Like, I can understand, okay, in football, we go into this where it's like, okay, you know, feature this wide receiver, feature this running back, feature this quarterback, feature this defensive end tackle, whatever. Mm. You can piece that together. Same thing with basketball. You can, you know, feed them all that kind of stuff and get them open looks if you want to feature someone to be able to trade them. You can't really do that in baseball. It's kind of on his shoulders to go out and have a really good start to a season and then increase whatever trade value may possibly be there if that's the direction you want to go, or give him a contract extension. The problem is the health stuff is a concern. The other side of it being, it's kind of an oxymoron to have a Gold Glove left fielder. Like, left field was always the position that you would take and put Manny Ramirez in, because you were like, oh, well, he'll be a butcher out there and it's not really going to matter. You know, we can hide him over there. In the same way that first base forever and, you know, has always been one of those positions that's the same way, where it's like, yeah, we'll put the guy there because there's the Gold Glover, there's everyone else, and then there's horrendous. Mm. Like, that's kind of how that all goes. This is like everybody else kind of falls in this category between the Gold Glover and the guy who's terrible. And so that's my other thing with Stephen Kwan is like, okay, you don't want him to play center field because you're worried about the soft tissue injuries. At least that's been rumbled and rumored. Okay, that makes sense. But what's the benefit of having a light-hitting Gold Glove left fielder unless you're going to find power in center field, power in right field, or power at second base or somewhere, or even power at shortstop, which they haven't done to this point? It seems like this is an offseason where internal development is going to be the key, and hopefully a couple of guys take a step forward to help get them some power. 216-474-0092 at the Sports Feller on Twitter, at Anthony Allant on Twitter as well. When we come back, Mary Kay Cabot had a report yesterday involving a guy who's been rumored for a couple other college gigs along the way, possibly being up for the Michigan gig. Everybody hates the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, and a lot of people have had a problem with him. But a lot of people are interested at the guy that he hired to call the plays. We'll get into him next. Dan Madigan, Anthony Lant, 93 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Dan Menigan, Anthony Allant in for Baskin and Phelps. Kevin Stacey's press conference coming up shortly. A little bit of news coming out of Berea, though, for practice today. Joel Bitonio, Mason Graham, Cedric Tillman, they returned to practice today, though not practicing this so far. Denzel Ward, Dylan Sampson, David Njoku, Jack Conklin, Wyatt Teller, Zach Zinter, and Aiden Huntington did not practice today. So the good news, Joel Bitonio, Mason Graham, Cedric Tillman back. The bad news, Denzel Ward, Dylan Sampson, David Njoku, Jack Conklin, Wyatt Teller, Zach Zinter, Aiden Huntington, not practicing.
Yeah.
Not good, Bob.
Not good.
Not good, Bob. So the way, I wonder if the way that the Browns need to win some games, and you brought this up earlier, which is how are they able to possibly be able to win some of these games. Actually, we'll get into that a little bit later on. We have the injury designations out for week 15, out for this game. Folks, get a pen and paper. It's going to take a bit. Out. Jack Conklin, Aiden Huntington, David Njoku, Denzel Ward is out for this game. Dylan Sampson, Wyatt Teller, Deshaun Watson. Questionable for this game. Joel Bitonio, Malachi Corley, Mason Graham, Cedric Tillman, Zach Zinter. Ugh. Well, at least you're in a position where Bitonio and Tillman are questionable. Same thing with Mason Graham. Mason Graham played last week. I assume he'll play this week. Malachi Corley would be really nice to have him back just because you need as many weapons as you can possibly get your hands on when it comes to the Cleveland Browns offensive side of the ball and as many different answers as you could possibly find as well.
And a punt returner that can catch the ball. Sorry, Gage.
Yeah, good point. That's a real good point.
And can potentially run a reverse the correct way.
Also, the wind is going to be swirling at Soldier Field. Just catch the ball. Or if you don't want to catch the ball, just let it roll out of bounds.
Just run away.
And start from wherever it ends. I can't sit through that again of watching this and the ball getting kicked and all of us sitting there going, Is he gonna? Oh,
that's how last week felt. I'm not gonna lie.
It really was.
Even the passes, like even Shador's best passes, we're sitting up there and we're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Okay, caught it. All right, here we go. It was bad.
Gentlemen, we go out to Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski from Berea.
All right, good work out there with the guys.
Quick predicts coming up. About a half an hour. Get him in. 216-474-0092 at the Sports Feller on Twitter, at Anthony Allant on Twitter. Allandt is how you spell his last name. We are in for Baskin and Phelps today. Just got done listening to another Area 51 press conference with Kevin Stefanski. I will tell you nothing whatsoever. Please ignore everything that's taking place behind the curtain. We know nothing about anything anywhere at all.
However,
until we got the Bud Grant hunting stories, then he perked up and got really excited. He really wanted to tell the stories about Bud Grant hunting, bringing deer carcasses in. I'm sorry. I could have listened to an entire press conference of that.
I wish one of these days he would just come on and be like, you guys don't want to ask any questions about this team, right? Can we just talk about like my days at Penn and, you know, talking with Bud Grant and stuff like that?
I would have been like, Coach, did Coach Grant bring jerky in? Did you ever try any venison jerky? Did you get a venison chili out of there? Did he have like a killer recipe for something like that? Did he bring any other animals in? Was he a fan of hunting turkeys? Was he a quail hunter? What do we know here? Like, I would have gone down that rabbit hole instead of anything involving where this team was going, because you might get a real answer.
So my father was in law enforcement in the area. And when I was like 6 years old, there was a dead deer on the side of the highway that, for whatever reason, one of his cop buddies called and said, hey, do you want to pick this up? You can take it to a local spot that they'll turn it into venison jerky and whatnot.
Right, they'll do you just take it to the butcher shop and they'll butcher it for you and you get venison steaks and whatever else.
Wait, isn't that illegal, Anthony?
What?
Mackenzie Flume? From the top rope?
Is it?
Is this one of those? We can pass the statute of limitations.
Yeah, I think so.
Sorry.
All right, anyways. So my father piled 6 year old me and my two like baby brothers into the car, brother and sister into the car. We drove off to get the deer. He plopped it onto the hood of his car, like, you know, jerry rigged it onto the hood of his car.
That's perfect.
And we drove into Amish country. Yep. And we drove into Amish country and in a couple of days, we had deer jerky. But the best part of that story is he put my four-year-old brother in the front seat of the car. That is probably illegal, Mackenzie. And the deer's glassy eyes were staring back at him. And my brother looked at my dad and goes, is the deer alive? And my dad just had to be like, yeah, it's alive. And then 2 days later, we had a ton of jerky and deer meat galore. And we loved it. We go, wow, where did this come from? And he was like, well, you remember that deer that was on the hood
remember
of our car?
Remember that carcass on the front of the car?
Yep. Remember that dead deer that we put on our Subaru?
It's time to learn about where meat comes from, kids.
Yep.
That's a good one. I have uncles who are hunters and all that kind of stuff. So my grandfather was a hunter as well. And so they would always go up for deer season and, you know, come home with whatever the DNR would allow them. And Lord knows what the DNR would not allow them to do as long as the DNR never found out.
Yep.
You know, that was kind of how all that stuff went. But yeah, honestly, that was better than anything that Kevin Stefanski had to say.
The other cool thing was two weeks later, we had my mother's boss over for dinner and he was cooking a squirrel. And I opened up the refrigerator to see a completely skinned squirrel that was marinating. And I screamed.
It's the same thing with deer and squirrel and raccoon and all that kind of stuff. If you marinate it, it's not too bad. It's a little gamey if you don't.
But if you're 6 years old, you should not see a completely skinned squirrel just in like brine.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That was so traumatizing.
Bag, going what?
You're like, oh my God. Is that really? Our pet?
Is that the Easter Bunny? Oh no. Yeah.
So anyways, Denzel Ward's out.
Denzel Ward. Also, this great quote that we can add to the Kevin Stefanski group: with every injury, you need to treat the injury. Mm-hmm. That was said twice. With every injury, you need to treat the injury. Yeah, Denzel Ward out for this game as well. You're missing Wyatt Teller. You're missing a good amount of them. Does that alter how you'll judge Shedeur Sanders in this game, the fact that you're missing some of those guys?
I think it should, because that's a lot of like good difference makers. That, I mean, the offensive line, Kevin Stefanski even said it in the press conference that he's working with the new center, and there is a lot of adjustment with that I'm sure is going to be overlooked a little bit. That's just another issue that if you're Shedeur Sanders, you need to somehow deal with. So, yeah, he's not being put in exactly the best position.
And not having your center is a huge deal.
Right. I mean, and Posick is good.
Yeah.
Like, it's not he's a replacement level center.
Centers are usually in the modern NFL, centers are notorious for calling out the protection up front. You know, they typically handle protection up front from what they're seeing, which directions you need to slide, all of that kind of stuff to help out your quarterback just to take something off his plate, and especially a young quarterback. If you hear a center talk about all the different things that they do in production plans, you'd be shocked. Just because your quarterback is typically reading everything in front of them, at least you can take something off of the plate. So yeah, not having Ethan Posick there turning to Luke Whipler is a big deal. Now, the nice thing is, or at least you could take away the fact that with the Hungry Dog program that they were doing, Shador was taking snaps from Luke Whipler in practice. So it's not like it's like, hi, Luke, nice to meet you. I'm Shador. Like, we're not going down that road. At least there's some recognition there and at least some previous work that has taken place. So yeah, counts for something, not, you know, gargantuan.
It's just so, like, I do want to properly try to evaluate Shador Sanders. That's been the biggest sticking point with me watching his games this year is like, I don't know if he's doing well because he bailed out of a throw that he was supposed to, or he bailed out too soon. I don't know if this is like good or bad. Were the handcuffs on him too much against the Raiders? Like, there's been so many questions. Like, if the offensive line was just quality, if there was just somebody to throw to, I could properly, you know, get to the end of the year and be like, oh, okay, this is the guy or this is not the guy for next year. But, you know, we're working with 9 different offensive linemen every week that I have no idea if it's like, all right, is he running out of a sack because his old habits are getting better or he's going back to his old habits, or literally because Cam Robinson is a turnstile left tackle.
Cam Robinson's a terrible left tackle. He's I do not understand. I would not have given him the money that he was given. I don't understand.
It forces Shador to play like he did at Colorado, which sucks because, like, as dynamic as he was at Colorado, that's why
you can't survive
in
the modern NFL playing that way.
No, and it lends itself to the sort of hero ball, really, that he felt like he needed to play on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I, unfortunately, like, as fun as that was to watch, hero ball with a rookie quarterback is not sustainable.
Agreed.
And if you're really trying to get, like, his footwork is still an issue, even though it's improving. His weight transfer is still an issue, even though it's greatly improving. Like, he's all the issues that he had are slowly going away, and they're slowly molding into form. But I do think that, like, hero ball background is still there when he falls into it.
And old habits die hard. I mean, we know that quite well. Everybody has had a moment in their life of an old habit that has taken a long time. I mean, Lord knows, talk to smokers who've tried to quit. I mean, old habits die hard. So
talk to my dad
picking up roadkill and figuring out what to do with it from there. And, you know, the DNR may be knocking at your door later on today. I hope we don't see a Shador Sanders who's fall back onto the old habits that looked like they were starting to fall away. Like, in the Tennessee game, yeah, he tried to back out of the back of the pocket. I think he did twice. One time he was able to throw a tackler off and make it work, and the other time he took the sack.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, you know, hope that we don't see Montez Sweat back there the entire game, basically, you know, going, okay, bail out of the back of the pocket. Oh, look, I'm here for a hug. Like, you know, hopefully you can avoid that kind of a thing. So I'm with you there. I want to see. It just stinks because it puts us in this position where we're walking out in the gray, and I don't want to be in the gray. I want to be in a situation where either, yes, this guy could be the quarterback into next season, and you could use the 2 draft picks on taking a left tackle and a wide receiver that can make a difference, or no, this guy is not the answer to that question, and we can have a conversation after that about whether we should take a left tackle and a wide receiver in the first round of the draft or trade up to go get Fernando Mendoza.
I get that, but I think that if you are solely on Shador's side, you thought he was going to come. Like, if you're Jonathan Peterlin, you saw Sunday as,
JP.
I knew that is exactly what was going to happen. If you were on the opposite side of that, maybe where, like, Anthony Lima was, you have to think about, like, wow, I'm surprised because I thought he was going to go out and not do it. Hand up. I did not think he was going to have a performance.
I didn't think he'd do it
like he did on Sunday.
Nope.
So you're like, the gray area is not even going to be there. He's going to go out and he's either going to ball out or he's going to look like he's never touched a football before in his life and it'll just figure itself out.
But the problem is you can, there's enough evidence that's out there to hand wave what took place in Tennessee. I am not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's enough evidence out there that you can hand wave it. And I want to live in a world where we can't hand wave. I want to live in a world where we have our answer and we go from there. And there's no like, you know, it's Tennessee. Oh, that Raider team fired their coach anyway. Like, we can't, you know, Tennessee, where they had 2 backup, I think it was 2 backup corners and were a terrible secondary to begin with. I don't want a hand wave.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be in a position where we can go, all right, he went up against the Bears and the Bears defense was good enough, and he went up against the Bills and he was able to hang, and he went up against the Steelers, where maybe you have TJ Watt now with a new surgically repaired lung on the, you know, on the line, and he was able to get the ball out quickly and make quick decisions and smart throws to avoid getting slammed into the dirt by Watt and Highsmith, and we were able to light up the Cincinnati Bengals. Great. Let's go. I feel good about the situation.
Yeah, he needs to play like a really, really... I almost want to... Like, it's too much to put on him to say
it's
that
too much
he
to
needs
put on him. You're right.
To like have that performance again against the Bears and the Bills and the Steelers, but he needs to be a, you know, 250-yard, two-touchdown, no-interception quarterback against...
I'll take one pick.
Either, sure, that's totally fine.
Throw more touchdowns than interceptions is all I ask.
He needs to have one of those performances against either one of the Bills or Bears, and probably it's going to end up having to be both for you to feel totally comfortable with, you know, that Titans game, that Ravens game. That wasn't just the fact that they were a bad defense.
And don't take 5 or 6 sacks. That's the other part of it that I'll add to it. Too. Yeah, yes. I'll add to that as well. 216-474-0092 at the Sports Feller on Twitter. We are doing quick predicts next segment, so get your quick predicts in. We'll go from there. This whole thing has just become so fascinating, and I'm interested beyond belief. So, also coming down, a little bit of information for everybody who is out there in regards to the Sherrone Moore situation in the University of Michigan. Prosecutor says, this is courtesy of Nicole Arbach of NBC Sports. Prosecutor says Sherrone Moore and the woman had an intimate relationship for a number of years. Quote, our victim broke up with the defendant on Monday morning. She presented herself to the school and corroborated the fact that they had a relationship. End quote. Nicole Arbach adds in, she said that Sherrone Moore went to the woman's house, grabbed butter knives and a kitchen scissors and threatened to kill himself, threatened her that, quote, my blood is on your hands. End quote. That's the latest in the Sherrone Moore arraignment. He has been accused of a felony and a couple of misdemeanors as well. Dan Menigan, Anthony Allant, in for Baskin and Phelps, 92.5.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.